This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, the past two decades have seen a great many changes in medicine and in healthcare delivery in this country, with the growth and development of a variety of robust and varied healthcare professions. Here with a firsthand view of all these developments is Dr. Hugh Bonner. He's the retiring dean of Upstate Medical University's College of Health Professions. Welcome. Thanks for coming in, Dr. Bonner.
Thank you, Linda.
So you have been the dean since when?
1995. I came in August 1995.
So about 20 years then, you've been sitting in that chair.
Right.
And you've watched all of these changes take place. Tell us about this seems to have been an unprecedented growth nationwide in the programs to educate a variety of health professionals. Who are these people? What areas are we talking about?
Well, the areas that are growing, I think, the most are the mid-level practitioners. For example, the doctor of physical therapy students now graduate and are able to address the needs of patients directly. They don't have to go through two or three doctors before they're referred. They provide a great deal of help. The physician assistants have been a huge growth. And the practitioners that we produce take many of their classes with the med students so that they get the same kinds of background and understanding. I think anyone that has the direct care of patients, respiratory therapist, so many people with diseases of the lungs and the cardiovascular system, radiation therapist, so many treatments are now being for cancer. Include radiation treatments, and these are the individuals that provide that. So those types of professions are growing to meet the demands of the country.
So what are the driving forces that are pushing this growth? I mean, you've alluded to some, but what seems to be driving the force? I mean, is it the growth in population, or are there fewer medical personnel, or have there been fewer medical personnel to address these needs? Tell us about that.
Well, in the last decade, we had a drop in resources being provided for the training of and the education of health professionals. That has slowly changed a bit and improved. So we're now able to recruit students to come into the field. Over the years, we've had essentially 90% of our students stay in the program. They graduate when they come in. We do a very careful job of screening them and ensuring that they are interested in going into the field. All of our graduates get jobs in their professions. They pass the state and national exams. They're in huge demand because they are so well educated. We can provide the most cost-effective health care at the least cost to the public. So we're a great resource.
Clearly you are, but clearly there's been a great demand for these new professions or these additional professions. But what do you think? Is it population growth, or is it just the fact that we're living longer, the baby boomers? What seems to be the underlying driving force here?
Well, I'd say that the two major factors are the increase in the Medicare population. Between 2000 and 2030, we're halfway there, by the way, we will double the population of the Medicare, of those 65 and older. So we will go from essentially 35 million to 70 million people. That population also has a large number of individuals with chronic conditions, such as cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, these types of chronic conditions that are very debilitating. Just to give you an idea, Linda, of the number, of that population, 82% of the Medicare population, which would be about 54 million people in the United States, have one chronic condition, and that would account for at least eight trips to their physician or healthcare provider. Within that population, there's also about 14 million people, or 22% of that population, that have five or more chronic conditions. So you can see that their demand is going to be huge.
It's exponential.
It is. And the demand for the professionals to be able to get to meet their needs when they need it. You can't go from one doctor to another doctor to another doctor. You have to come in and be treated by a team. And the professionals will be able to take care of the person's needs for those conditions. So I think that's a major condition. I think a second area of expansion will be the Affordable Care Act. In 2013, we had approximately 40 million people who were uninsured. And according to the Harvard Business Journal, that cost about $1,700 a year to take care of those individuals.
Per person.
So that's about $70 billion money that would come into the system. Between 2013 and 2014, with the initiation of the Affordable Care Act, about 10 million of those individuals came off of the uninsured ranks. So they now have insurance. So those premiums are available to take care of some of the needs of these patients. And we expect that to grow. So when you take the aging population and the greater insured population, there are going to be a large number of individuals that are going to have to come into the system. And who can take care of them better? Who will run the x-rays? And who's going to do the laboratory tests? And, there's a large population or a large portion of all medical decisions are based on those laboratory tests.
They're critical.
X-rays as well.
Yeah. So. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Hugh Bonner. He's the retiring dean of Upstate's College of Health Professions. We're talking about the changes that he's witnessed in these fields over the last few decades. So obviously the demand is growing. The need is there. What currently are the existing workforce challenges that you see?
Well, the biggest challenge we have is getting enough individuals out into the field. We cannot possibly meet the demands as it is today. With the expansion of the aging population, those with chronic conditions, as well as the increased number of uninsured people who are now going to have insurance, hopefully in the near future, we're going to be swamped. At the same time, we are losing the existing population of practitioners. They too are part of that aging population. Just to give you one example, Linda, and it's not part of our group, but the registered nurses in the United States in 2020, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, 60% of that population will have reached retirement age. What are we going to do?
The trained professionals, the well-trained professionals, are reaching retirement age, as are all of many of their patients needing increased help. And so you're really, I guess, the resources. Is the problem looking for more resources to train the people, or that you're literally looking for people to be trained?
No, actually, for example, we had somewhere in the vicinity of 1,600 applicants for the 150-some positions we have. So we have a very strong group of students wanting to get into the program. We're lacking the number of faculty that we can
faculty
find.
Faculty shortages.
Finding faculty is very difficult. We also have trouble with clinical sites as more and more demands are being placed on the clinical systems. They don't have time to train students into the clinics. And you can't prepare, you can't give the high quality education to our students if they cannot get the help from the clinical placements. Additionally, although there is quite a bit of money and we spend more money on healthcare than the 10 other nations in the world, a lot of those resources stay in places that don't help us in the education of health professionals. Some of that money needs to be, those resources need to be redirected into the educational system.
What fields have shown the most growth in your tenure?
By far the biggest increase in numbers of applicants and so forth has been physical therapy. We've moved to the doctor of physical therapy to address some of the educational needs of a therapist coming into the field.
Explain that a little bit more. Why did physical therapy move to encouraging people to go on to a doctorate? What does that afford them?
Primarily, it gives them the educational background so that they understand the literature and they can compare the patient who comes in. They know they can be able to assess the needs and diagnose what the patient needs to have based on what's been done in the literature before, and that takes a great deal of education just to get that type of a background. They also need to know which types of apparatus and which types of treatment would be best to help a patient. Also, with direct access of the patient who can come in directly to see a physical therapist, for example, the weekend warrior, what we like to call them, the people who are playing tap football in the backyard with
right.
the family and come in with a bad sprain of their ankle or knee or something, or a person at work coming in with a low back injury, they have to be able to really figure out what it is that has caused this problem, know when to refer the individual to another practitioner.
So they become more than technicians in this case. They become diagnosticians and basically try to treat the entire patient and recognize when they need to go elsewhere.
Exactly. And they need to be looking at the whole patient. So they will be looking at the injury, for example, of the weekend warrior. But they will be looking at their cardiovascular
status
and all of that. And so forth. They'll be looking at the condition of the skin. They'll be looking at various items that could lead them to refer them to another practitioner.
In the little bit of time we have left, in your wide bird's eye view of the last 20 years and where we're going, where do you think we're headed? If you had a crystal ball, where will we be 20 years from now?
I think you will be having a lot more of the highly educated professionals taking over the initial treatments of patients as they come in and knowing when to refer patients to a specialist and so forth, because otherwise we will not be able to address the healthcare needs of America.
As they're growing, you mean, as they continue to grow?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Very informative. My guest has been Dr. Hugh Bonner. I wish you all the best, by the way, in your retirement.
Thank you.
The retiring dean of Upstate Medical University's College of Health Professions. Thanks once again. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.